You know what that is, Scott? It's not an aid station. It is the sound you hear when you open up the door at Trail Runner Nation store.
That's hilarious.
Well, not really, but
hey, we're excited. We have the new Trail Runner Nation buffs and sleeves, which have been on there for a while. They're awesome, by the way. We're getting great reviews.
Yeah.
I love them personally. But we are opening the door, and this week we will be adding our fall T-shirts and hoodies. If you had a chance to participate in that hoodie and T-shirt offer last fall, it's the same type of shirt, same type of hoodie.
Because they're so awesome.
Different colors, they're really cool. The T-shirts are going to go for $19, hoodies for $40. Great holiday gift, so go check them out.
That's on our website, trailrunnernation.com. Go enter the store.
Click the store, and you may hear a cowbell.
That's an aid station bell, Scott.
Ladies and gentlemen of the wide, worldwide ultra running community, you are listening to nothing less than the greatest Trail Running Nation podcast on earth. It is the Trail Runner Nation podcast.
This might be one of the most interesting podcasts ever.
Oh, that's what you're doing. There's a bunch of like old brothel hookers like buried out here.
No, I've listened to your podcast for many years, and it's,
I do own my own bar. every Friday morning on I Run Far, we open up and open up the taps.
You record this, aren't you, Freeman?
I get everything.
Hello.
Hello, Sally McCray. How are you?
I'm Don Freeman. How are you?
So let's set this up as it actually happened. So I get a text from Sally, and she's in commute traffic of some kind, looking for something to do, and probably a little ADD that goes off in her. She says, well, I'll call Don.
What?
She's thinking, you know, what's as bad as this traffic? And the first thing that came to mind was me. So she reached out. We made touch with phone call, and it was about, what, two sentences in, and we said, you know what, we should just record this. As the first time ever, just kind of impromptu, live, let's catch up with Sally podcast via phone.
Yes, I love it. And everyone listening, you first need to know that, yes, Don is a good friend of mine, and we often like to exchange good ideas and talk about future podcast topics. So there is actually some quality conversation that was going to happen. It wasn't that I was ADD and so bored, who's the last person on my phone that I can call.
Well,
and you got to give yourself more credit, Don.
And hey, Sally, how many times have we had like this conversation? We've always ended it with, we should have totally recorded that.
Oh my gosh. Every time we talk, because it's usually like, hey, do you have 5 minutes? I want to run this by you real quick. Yeah, totally. And then it's this great idea, and we end up having like a 45-minute conversation. And it's, yes, we should have hit record. Where is the record button when we were talking?
Well, it's on now. So tell me, catch us up with what you've been doing, because the last we spoke, you were lost on a trail. You ran Western States, and now here we are. You've been over to Europe. You've run. Catch us up with the season and what's in front of us, and what have you been doing?
Okay, very cool. And then, you know what, Don?
What?
I think that we should do a first that we haven't done on Trail Runner Nation, and let's have you catch us up on what you've been doing, because you are quite interesting, and I think that, you know, you do so much interviewing that it would be great for you to share, too. So phone conversations go two ways, and if this is going to be a true phone conversation, then that's what we're going
to
do.
You got it. Okay. When it's time for you to take the lead and interview, then I'll recognize it, because there'll be a question mark after your sentence. Since you are an English teacher. Not many people know that Sally has many skills. So Sally, go ahead. Catch us up.
Yeah. Well, can we just first say hi to everybody that's running right now? Because I can't believe how many people that listen to Trail Runner Nation and they take us along on their long run. So hello to everybody that's on a long run. Hello to everybody that's sitting in traffic like me. I hope that you are all well, and thank you so much for tuning in today for a first ever phone conversation. What have I been doing? What have I been up to? Well, yes, as you said, I did quite a bit of traveling. I was able to go to UTMB. I went to France for that, Chamonix. And then I came home, and about 9 days later, I went to China.
Okay, hold on, Sally. We yes. can't jump continents without a brief question. Hey, what's it like to run in France? I mean, it's totally different. Just tell us, what was it like? The mountains, we see pictures. Is it like what we're looking at?
Oh my gosh! This part isn't. You know, the Alps are absolutely magnificent. They are stunning. They are like nothing you'll ever see. I think what I love so much about them, especially where we go in Chamonix is like in this little valley, and the valley is less than a mile wide, and the mountains on both sides of you just shoot straight up to the sky.
Wow.
They're very aggressive, and they're just in your face. You can't help but just stare at them when you're walking down the street. And then, you know, you're there for a few days before the race, and all that I'm thinking is, wow, I'm going to go and run around those. It's very daunting, but it kind of puts you in a place of respect for what it is that you're about to do. And, you know, I'll share a little bit here. I really fell in love with the mountains the first time that I saw Sound of Music. It is my favorite movie. And although those are the Bavarian Alps, we don't run in the Bavarian Alps. That's what you see in the Sound of Music. I don't know. There was just something about it, like that idea of just being... You know, Floralie Maria in that movie, she runs out and sings, you know, the hills are alive. And then she ends up escaping with her family in the war into the mountains, and a lot of symbolism in there. But
hold on, Sally.
I love is like, what?
I got a question for you. Okay. So the line that I know from that movie is what? The hills are alive with the sound of music, right? If that's part of the song, can you tell me the next verse, the next sentence rather, or the next line? The hills are alive.
Oh no! Are you quizzing me?
Yeah. Can you do it? I don't know it.
The hills are alive with the sound of music. Oh,
no,
right?
No, you can't just hum. But that's good. Okay, go ahead with your. We're a trail running podcast, not a show tunes podcast. So go ahead.
Okay. So anyway, love the mountains there. Beautiful, and I plan to go back next year for my third time because I did not have a very good race. I got, I don't know if it was a parasite or just something not good happening with my intestines. I had some problems with my intestines for 3 weeks straight. And, you know, I just thought, I can push through this in a race. And I took a ton of Imodium right before the start. And that was very uncomfortable, what happened after that. But I was able to get like 40 miles in okay. I just didn't really have a mile where I felt great. And then I couldn't keep anything in my body. So from miles 40 to 85, it was a suffer fest. But I've done that before. I know I suffer really well. And then I came in to, I think it was like mile 78, maybe 75. And a big lightning storm hit. So I was like at the top of this mountain and I had 3 layers on and I was just shivering and completely depleted and my body was revolting. And, you know, I just said, you know what, this time I'm just going to go back down to this aid station. I got to the next aid station and I'm going to take care of myself. There really wasn't much more that I could do at that point. And I was already just about 32 miles in. So I called it a day. And that was that. It was very sad. I was very unhappy because just like Western States, I trained really hard for both those races and was a little heartbroken. But we learned from those things, and that's really been the season that I've been in. I feel like I can always be growing as an athlete, and it's been exciting just the past couple months, just pushing myself and learning about myself and learning how to pick myself back up after some setbacks and some letdowns. And so after I got back from France, I left I think it was 11 days later.
Wait, hold on, Sally.
China.
Hold on. Before we go to China.
Yes.
And I want to keep this as it really is a conversation between you and I and not in podcast mode. I'm not saying you were going there, but I want to preface.
I fully was.
I felt it a little bit. But so I think what you know what's happened to you for this season, you've had a couple of rough spots in there, but
totally.
We all go through those rough spots, and it's comforting in a way to see the people that are usually doing well to have a little bit of that, because we feel like, well, maybe it's okay that it happened to us too. And then we watch how you come back and just be, you're positive and you go attack the next thing. And I think that sets such a good example. And as probably as important as someone that's always standing on the highest point of the podium, but someone that falls and then bounces back up. It's inspirational to watch you. And I think it's good in the scheme of things. I'm sorry it happened to you, but I think you do good with it. You don't throw a pity party. You get out there and you rationalize and you get out there and you encourage others that it may have happened too. So I'm sorry it happened, but it helps people.
You know, it does, and I so appreciate you saying that, Don. You're so encouraging. In the last 6 months, it has been really neat to just read the emails and messages that have come in as people who have been following my journey, whether it's on my Yellow Runner Facebook page or, you know, just through social media, like on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I tell you all the time, like I love being able to interact with the endurance community. Whether you're a trail runner, a road runner, triathlete, I just feel like there is so much that we learn from each other and that we can inspire each other. But so much of what we do it carries over in our everyday life. And I will say that despite the year that I have had, I really have learned a lot about myself. And I think I've let go of, I think I've let go of trying to be so guarded in that I always need to make sure that I just show like the best side of myself, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that I've wanted to be really raw and open with people. And I think before I was a professional runner, I wanted that too. Like, I really wanted to understand what makes other people tick and, you know, how can this person get through this situation? Like, what are they hanging on to? And how do you pick yourself back up after a race or just a tough challenge in life as a whole? And, you know, the messages that have come in, I mean, people share, I think because of that, the responses, they're sharing their lives with me. And the stories that people write, I mean, long paragraphs, it is so humbling. And so many times I'm like crying because people are sharing real challenges. I'm not talking about, oh, I DNF'd at my 50K. It's like, you know, I've just overcome, you know, this is my second time with cancer, or I had an eating disorder, or I just lost my husband, or I've transitioned through three different jobs. And I'm reading these things and I'm realizing it's like, none of this has anything to do with running. But a lot of times these messages are prompted with, thank you for being so real. And it has helped me to know that there is hope when I go through something that's hard, that I can get back up and I can keep going. And, you know, I feel like, yeah, I've had a lot of challenges just overall in my life, and I've lost people and struggled in a lot of different ways. And, you know, I want to know that even beyond those challenges, that they're going to be used for something good. And if it's to give other people hope and inspiration, if it's going to encourage somebody that they too can move on and grow and be better from it, then I'm going to just keep on sharing it. And so as a whole, in my pride, as a prideful athlete, I want to be on the podium in first place every time, but there's been a lot of good in my setbacks as a result.
I'm going to back up a little bit, and you said it doesn't have anything to do with running, and I just want to throw back to you that perhaps it has everything to do with running, because running does so much more for us and raise our heart rate. You know, it takes other biorhythms and flattens them out when they need to be, or raises them up when they're a bit low. I think it is all about running, and That's just the channel that you're reaching out with and connecting to people, and it really is a testament to that you send something else and something else different, completely different, comes back. And so it is more than about running. That's the community. It's a trusted group of individuals that feel safe to share.
Right. And I've shared this with people when I'm able to talk face to face with, you know, if I go to an event or I'm at a race or whatever. And I just, you know, I like to say, I hope that if you do follow me, if you're following along the journey, if you're reading the things that I'm posting on social media, I hope that you see that I'm not always just talking about running, though. You know, if I am talking about running, or even if it's just, and I had posted this earlier today, it was a picture of me running into fog, basically. And it's just that idea of many times it's how we feel in life. You know, I was all excited, geared up, ready to go on the run. And I get out there and I cannot see literally more than 5 feet in front of me. It's so foggy and it's a little daunting. It's a little scary. I'm a little easy. Should I go this way? And again, just relating that back to life and many times how we, you know, how we feel. So, you know, it is my goal to want to use running as a platform to encourage and just inspire people in their everyday life. Because you know, I do know that some people follow me. They aren't runners. They don't like running, but maybe a family member does. And it's been the conversations I've been able to share through that have been really, really cool. And I've just met some really amazing people. Everyone has a story. And I feel like I've had this opportunity to be able to hear a lot of really amazing, inspiring stories. So it's been a good... It's been a very good, fruitful season, and I've grown a lot.
Well, that's all you can ask is for that kind of change. Here's my fog story. You brought your fog story up. It was a long run. And it was in Marin Headlands, right off the coast of where the Golden Gate Bridge is, and so notorious for fog. And it was nighttime, and great headlamps don't necessarily penetrate through fog, and it was like running blind. Literally, lifting your feet.
Totally.
Certainly, you had to just lift them up and down and just hope there was ground underneath you. It was during a race, so it was hard to look for ribbons. It was crazy. Now that's an obstacle.
Yeah.
Okay.
John, going off of that.
Okay.
Because I haven't.
I still have another point that I would bring up from the past conversation, and that is perhaps our sport. So if you didn't have your best year, believe it's I want to set it in this context that our sport is so unique because perhaps in golf or in any of the sports with a scoreboard on it, if you're not, you know, top team, then your value is low. But in ultra running, there's so much more to it. It's about your season. It's about maybe a down season could be more valuable to a sponsor than an up season because it's what you represent and what you bring to the game. And ultra running is a different game. It's different than other games with nets and hoops and buzzers. And I think that that's what attracts me to what we do. So any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I also think that expectations have a lot to do with that. So I know for me personally, I just have really high expectations of myself. I do tend to be pretty hard on myself. I mean, I still got on the podium 4 times this year, but they weren't the podiums that I wanted to be on, you know? And I mean, I wanted to be on those podiums, but there was a couple other races where that was my goal. That's what I was working for. And that's, you know, ultimately what broke my heart. And I have a race that's coming up in South Africa at December 10th. I'm, you know, really training and hoping to do well there.
Wow.
And I think that's part of the growing for me, too, is, you know, just always keeping the big picture in mind that if I don't do well at a race, it's not the end of the world. There's a lot of racing still that I'm hoping to do. And I can always improve and I can always get, you know, I can always learn something. And so appreciate what I have been able to do. I raced more this year than I have in a long, long time. And so I'm thankful that my body's been able to hold up. I'm thankful that I've been able to stay strong and injury free for the past 2 years. And so there's been a lot of good that has come from that. But it's not easy to let up on the expectations and the pressure that I probably just bring on myself a lot of times.
And I hope, Sally, that I didn't come across not recognizing the four podium finishes, and I didn't come across saying, you know, I don't want to read any emails that, you know, over here that says, and they'll go to Scott,
no.
So it won't bother him with it. That says, boy,
no.
Don calls Sally and beats up on her. That's not the title of this podcast. But Sally, to prove that it is a podcast, we would never, I mean, it is a phone call rather than a podcast. We would never say anything close that could be interpreted to derogatory on a podcast. Always positive. But this is a real raw conversation. You know?
This is a real raw conversation.
Yeah.
So I don't know what podcast you're talking about. It's just you and me.
This is you and I talking. I didn't hit the record button. What a mistake. So we're headed over to China, right? What happens in China?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I got to go to the Gobi Desert and race this 70K. It was incredible. I mean, I found myself in the middle of the race, and who knew? The Gobi Desert is a cold desert, but they have mountains that get up over 9,000 feet there, and it
wow.
is gorgeous. It is so pretty. And, you know, I in the middle
hey,
of the
Sally,
race, I remember being at
Sally,
stop.
Are you
yeah.
driving? Are you driving underneath the semi truck right now? Who's next to you to the left?
No, I'm not.
All right.
Am I starting to fade?
Well, dang it! Roll that window up and. Okay,
Ew.
I'm sure we're good. So tell us about these 9,000 foot mountains in the middle of a desert.
Well, they are gorgeous, and it's like nothing I've ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of the race, I remember getting to the top of one of the peaks and just looking around and kind of giggling to myself because I was like, I am in the middle of the Gobi Desert in
yeah.
China on the other side of the world. Like, this is awesome.
Time out, Sally. So you, I mean, let's put all that together. You are like running in China, South Africa, in Swiss Alps, over here in whatever we have over in the United States. At one point, you just must be running around going, is this a dream? Do you ever pinch yourself?
Yes. Oh, my gosh, yes. Don, seriously, and that's what I was saying, the growing and the learning that has happened over this year. And it just brought me to my knees in great thankfulness. And I'm like, look what I get to do.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in high school, Don, I think, I don't know if I've told you this before, but when I was in high school, my dream was to be single, travel the world, and then I would retire as a nun and live and work in an orphanage. Like, that was, I'm not kidding. Like, I have a huge heart for orphans, and I have
yeah.
such a strong wanderlust. That it's amazing. I would have never thought that ultra running was what was going to take me to see the world and on my own 2 feet and to be able to climb mountains, you know, on all these different continents. I'm so grateful. And it was such an incredible experience, something that I will always be remembered very well in my mind. And
wow.
yeah, it was awesome. It's one of those things too. It's like, can you even tell people to put that on their bucket list? Like, put it on your bucket list to go run in the middle of the Gobi Desert. it was really cool. So
you had not told me that fact about you. And I try to stay apprised of all your Instagram stuff. I haven't seen any pictures of you or any comments that would lead me to think that. Did you want to be like the Flying Nun? Remember that TV show, The Flying
Nun? Yes.
I could totally see you in that type of environment. You know, flying across the world in your nun outfit.
Don, this will be another podcast. But I've worked in other countries in orphanages and with orphans, especially when I was in college. That was, I really believed that was what I was going to do. It's totally at the core of my heart and. And I think just the idea of being a nun, it kind of was twofold. It was, one, I am never getting married because I just love to travel, and there's no man wild enough to keep up with me.
Well, you found a good man. Eddie's good for you.
And you know, things change. So it's been really exciting to know that running has allowed me to go all over the world, and it really is a dream. So I don't want to be like talking too much about that though, because there's a lot of people that would love to be in my shoes, and I don't want to sound like I'm bragging. I think I sound like I'm bragging now.
No, it really doesn't. You know, we're celebrating in some of the things that you're doing, because ultimately we'd like to be doing them instead of sitting in a cubicle or you know, doing our day to day. Going out and running the world is a fun thing to share in, and we're not jealous or envious. I think we're just like to imagine it happening.
Oh, well, that's why I love to share it when I'm there. And people have said that. People have been really gracious and said, hey, thanks for taking us along. And sometimes I'll have fun on Snapchat or the stories on Instagram, and I'll share, you know, moments and pictures of places that I go to give a little glimpse. But
I think it's because you don't come across arrogant, and you're humble about it, and your entries are heartfelt, and they're not like, look at me, and I know you're sitting back there doing the same thing for the 97th time, and I'm about to open the door into a new world. So I think you handle it well, and it's good.
Thank you, Don.
So,
Don, let's talk about you.
Oh, nothing. Everything is exactly the same, and I just want to catch up with you.
You're not allowed to say that. In fact, you know what I want to know? Have you ever talked about, because we're just having a fun conversation,
yeah,
so there's no one listening. Have you ever talked about your invention on the podcast?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, my gosh. Can we? Or is that off limits?
No. I'll be accused of dragging you through the hardship of a season.
All right,
so
pause.
You owe me.
Pause, Don. You can't talk for like 10 seconds right now.
All right.
Listeners, because now I'm going to go into podcast mode. People that are listening right now, if you don't know Don is like Einstein. I kid you not, the guy is brilliant, very, very smart, and has come up with this amazing invention. And he has a business called Occumetric. And Don, can you give us, you know, like just a 2-minute rundown of what this machine does and what you do? It's very fascinating.
I'll give a thumbnail sketch. So my career started in construction. It moved into chiropractic for whatever reason. Maybe I wanted to get on the other side of the table instead of laying down with back pain. And so I went to school, became a chiropractor. I've done that for 19 years. And about 10 years ago, we started treating Walmart injuries here. And they had a drug test where they'd come in on pre-employment to do a drug test. And so we ended up doing that. And I thought to myself, well, a drug test is very important, but what may be more important as I'm watching these injuries come in is strength. Evaluate their strength. You can't put a 30-pound body in a 50-pound job. You're going to end up with an injury of some kind. And so we tried to just reinvent the wheel. Instead of a drug test sample, we thought we could use that same process of doing some data entry and putting a person on the machine and then having the results shipped directly to the hiring manager to show whether they could or couldn't do the job based on the requirements. And that's what's unique about the machine, and there's only one like it in the world, well, more now because we're building them, but it has the ability to lift from 0 to 80 inches, dynamic lifting. You can move it with 2 pounds of force or 100 pounds of force. It will graph in real time your effort and the location or elevation that you're creating this effort. So it's completely safe for everybody to do. What it turns into is a nice filter at the beginning of a hiring process. You can make sure that person that you're hiring can do the job, because the consequences are injuries are expensive in work comp. They can be a lifetime burden for the company or the insurance company, and you want to make sure people are productive, not putting them into an environment that they're not going to perform well and be happy, and you want to make sure that the people that are working around them have someone to toe the line and they're not carrying along. So all in all, I think it's just a good injury prevention and improves the workforce and has nothing but good around it, because there are objective findings that you can look at on a piece of paper and see whether they could or couldn't, and it's not based on opinion. Was that 2 minutes or 20 minutes?
That John, it's fascinating. You are doing a lot of good to help people and to keep people injury-free and safe and able to do their jobs. But honestly, like, the most fascinating thing to see is that you came up with a machine, like the science and the technology, and you would drag this thing around the convention, showing it to people. I mean, it is just, you need to write a book on it one day, and I'm not going to make you talk for the next 20 minutes on it, give a pitch. But, John, you are really, you're fascinating. I'm excited for you, and, you know, I know that you're going to be successful. You already are in it. But go ahead.
On that point, Sally, you know, and you've discovered it too, when you're out there running, and people on the trails are accomplished and they're not afraid to go out and attack problems and solve them. It's really fun to find somebody on the trail and just ask them what they do and what they're about, and it's inevitable that they're high achievers, and it's fun to be around that community.
Totally, that's so true.
I was on a trail run up. All of a sudden, I'm next to a PhD that is a psychologist, and I thought, my goodness, you know, you're just like the rest of us here. I figured PhD psychologists wouldn't have, you know, these social skills or the ability to get out here and do this stuff. But you know, to the contrary, what a nice person, and it's fun to find those guys out there and gals.
Yeah, well, Don, I know that when it comes to invention or trying to create a new business or something new, that also means that you are not getting very much sleep. And you just told me, because I first heard texting, that you just finished Rio del Lago 100 miler. And granted, people, he also ran a 200 mile race not too long ago. He decides to jump into Rio del Lago on, you said, like, no sleep. Like, you were not sleeping for 2 weeks. Yeah, how in the world did you finish a sub-24-hour 100-miler on, like, zero sleep?
Please,
in the world are you taking? What drugs?
Oh,
well. You're a doper.
No, I'm gonna put that S on my. Have you put that S on you, Sally?
I need to. They've contacted me twice, and I'm like, oh my gosh, if I don't hurry up and put this out there.
Yeah, if you know, I'm gonna start a rumor. I'm gonna put out there hashtag haven't seen Sally's S.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Like, two emails come in, and then I've been tagged like a few times on social media, and I'm like, I need to hurry up and do this, or people are gonna start to wonder. Explain.
Yeah, that business had me traveling to dragging that machine up to Washington and just busy stuff, and it's like all of a sudden I obligated myself to that race, and then you just kind of follow through and do it. But oh, I'll tell you, lesson learned. We learn a lesson from every race, even if it goes perfect. There's something to learn, and I learned, you know. Oh, gosh, I wish I could come up with this ratio. I mean, maybe we could formulate something, but for every hour, for, you know, missing an hour of sleep, for every hour, here's the formula. For every hour of sleep that you miss the week before the race is like dropping one of your training days. Ooh. And I tell you, it may be more than that. I may be a little bit cautious with my hypothesis, but I think that... We can't miss sleep, because it's a prerequisite for distance.
But Don,
what?
You ran a sub-24 on like zero sleep. Like, what did you do? Please just tell us, like, what did you do? What was your nutrition like? What was your strategy? How did you overcome the in very intense, very real sleepy feelings, especially in the last quarter of the race? Just come on.
Okay, I'll give you. You know, since it is a phone call and not a podcast, we're just talking. The first part of that race, RDL, Rio del Lago 100, here in Northern California, Sacramento region. The first part, 19 miles, is on flat pavement, and
you can just rip that, right?
Well, that's the problem.
Running.
that's the problem. Everybody was just ripping that. And so we all looked like we were, you know, Sally McCrae's out there running around. And so we all pull in at our, you know, 18-hour pace or whatever we're not supposed to be at.
Right?
No.
Everyone's on course record. Everyone's going to break the course record that day.
yeah, we have 314 course records at one point. So, but they traded. There was 33 miles of course record stuff last year. So they traded it this year to more mountain stuff. In fact, ALT, Auburn Lake Trails, we went up there and climbed up in those mountains and Goat Hill and all that stuff. You know that area. So we traded a lot of super fast flat pavement for good gnarly climbing. That those types of climbs.
How many miles of climbing was it this year over the course of the 100?
Oh, elevation.
I thought it was pretty flat.
Well,
it's only like 10,000 feet.
13,000 this year, so I think they probably put in another three or four. So
how fun!
Yeah, so good. And then I'm running along, and probably before I get to that big climb that gets up to the, it's a 2.5 mile climb, and I sat on a rock right before the climb, and I thought to myself, do I have it? I mean, I was thinking of every excuse that I could. I mean, I'm empty, I'm tired, this is a long way up. Do I really have all these miles left of me? All of this stuff. Do I really need to do it? Can I rationalize and justify a drop, right? I'm thinking of all that stuff. And I end up walking like 5 miles, 2 miles before that and up, because I was just done. And I get up there and I convince anybody that would listen that I was done until I see Charlie Jones comes walking by. And if anybody's around here, Charlie Jones, not the tallest guy, always wears a bucket hat, always with a smile, always happy. That's Charlie Jones. And I love that guy. And I said, hey, I call him from across the parking lot. And I said, hey, Charlie. And he comes over and I said, Charlie, you know, I am done. I'm done. I'm going to drop. And he gets down on one knee as I'm there in the chair, and he looks at me straight in the eye, and he says, "Don, you ain't done." He says, "You're a warrior, and warriors take care of their S, and you need to take care of it." He said, "You go out there and you can walk the rest of this thing if you want, and you get timed out because then you're not a quitter, but right now you're a quitter." And I had chills come across me even though I was hot and tired, and I said, "You're right, Charlie. I got to finish this thing. I just got to go out there and do it." And from that point on...
Okay, wait. Can I pause you there, though?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Because how many times have I been in the presence of runners where they're just like, nope, there is nothing that you can do to convince me otherwise. I'm done. So what is it in you that you're like, you listened and you really took to heart like the words that he said? But you know what, Don, that is something, you are like that, though. Like, you're always open to listen and open to learn and consideration. I think that's always played in your favor. You're not very stubborn when it comes to stuff like that. And look at, you finished because of it.
Well, I respect Charlie. Charlie Jones a lot. And we ran together earlier this year out at Forest Hill. And we just bumped into each other, and it was a hot, hard day, and we ended up running quite a bit together and talking through stuff. And some of the things we talked about, I said, "Hey, Charlie, you know my Jeep, and you know what it looks like, and there's a key that's..." Well, I'll tell everybody now, right? There's a key in a certain spot, and Charlie, if you're ever in need and you need to get warm, you need to get into town, you need something, you take that Jeep. If you take it, leave a note so I know what's going on. But let that be your refuge. Let that be your refuge for you. And when he was down on that one knee, he said, "Listen, bro, this is my key to the Jeep. You finish this. I'm giving you that same refuge." And I went, wow.
Oh, my gosh, I love that.
It was powerful. And
that is so powerful.
And what was real fun...
Wait, did you not have any crew or pacers?
I don't run with crew or pacers.
that too. Okay, that too. You're very mentally tough. I mean, that's not easy, because crew and pacers, what do? They lift you up constantly. They encourage you. Yes, you can keep on going. They keep you on pace. Especially in those late hours when you're tired, they make sure you're not wandering off and losing steam. And so you got that self-motivation.
No, let me share this with you, Sally, because I've done that a lot, zero pacer, zero crew. And you know what it turns out? That aid stations are full of crews, and that the trail is full of pacers. And I ended up having a variety of pacers and a whole bunch of crew, people that were out there at the aid stations just looking to help, you know, three hands on every body. People were out there just helping. So I never feel uncrewed or unpaced. And I had some fun conversations.
Wait. What did you say? Three hands on everybody?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's really moving. You know, everybody's there's doing more than what normally is humanly expected. So Francisco, a friend of both of ours, Francisco, he was there, and we had some good fun on that. We were doing some like live podcasts. When speaking of no crew, and we were having some interviews impromptu, no record button podcast. They'd bring up a subject, and I'd throw out some questions, and the next thing you know, we were rambling about all kinds of topics. And one of the topics we talked about, I'm going to throw this out there, and tell me if we were really tired. Wait, I'm going to tell you this situation. You tell me what mile you think we were at, where we would think this was entertaining, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so I mean, if it's sane, we're in the low miles, right? And if it's kind of out there,
yes.
Deeper miles, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we were actually talking about places where we'd like to run, and we were talking about Mount Wilson in the area that in the San Gabriels where you are, right?
Yeah.
And we were talking about the Sierra foothills and this area, and we were just kind of comparing and contrasting it. And one of the things Francisco said was, you know, there are a lot of trees around here and a lot of bushes, and they're giving off oxygen and energy and vibrations, and he says I feed into that. And so then I returned the response, and I said, do you think that the trees and the bushes feel our energy and they pull from it?
And, mile 85.
Yeah.
85.
That's so funny. You're wrong. It was 82.
Was it?
It was close. We were just coming into No Hands and Bridget, so there wasn't much left, maybe 20 miles. It was deep stuff. But we were very serious. We were very serious about it. We didn't dismiss it. We got every
swallows carried the coconut.
We got everybody's opinion on it, and everybody felt strong about their opinion.
Oh my gosh, I love it, Don. That would be really funny, though. That would be great entertainment if you ever did a podcast like while you're running through, and not if like you weren't racing, but everyone else is racing, and you're just running like up and down certain miles and talking to people. To hear what is going through their head, or the hallucinations that they see, just their tired talk. It's great. I love it. You need to do that.
It was a lot of fun, and I'll tell you when I got to hook up with those different groups through there, all of a sudden, like Heather and Paul, I ran with them and ran a 10-mile section with them and Francisco and April and running with them. Those miles just clicked off so quick. It was just boom.
Yeah.
They were magically clicking, and it was nice to get out there with them. So I did have a pacer and I did have mini crew.
So to speak, not official, but
yeah.
So tell us then, after not sleeping for a couple weeks, then going and beating up your body in a 100-miler because, you know, those don't exactly energize you. How are you feeling? How do you feel today?
Yeah, well, remarkably, I'm good just because I'm not running fast. You know, you're out there doing track work and speed work, and I'm doing some more survival work, and I just try to...
Don?
Yeah.
Don. There's a lot of people that wish that they could have done a Step 24. That's 2,400-miler. That's fantastic. So well done on that.
Well,
what did your recovery look like? Do you do anything? Got any like contractions or anything in that chiropractic office of yours?
No. But I'm a big promoter of post-race massage. I think that's good. You know, good sports massage. Somebody getting in there and just digging. Not they don't have to dig in super deep, but just start moving that inflammation up. You know, don't push it down. Just move it up. And doing that, I think, is really good. My feet were in great shape from the 100 miles. I didn't have a single anything with that, and so I mean I was really happy, you know, moving through. My only weakness was my own brain, and Charlie went and adjusted a few screws there and helped me out a lot. So, no physical complaints, and I'm just looking forward to what's next. I kind of wanted to link the 200 and the 100. You know what?
I can't believe you did that.
Well, it kind of I don't know why I did. You know what product I found? that I really, really like.
What?
Have you used it? That the squirrel nut butter.
Yes.
That is so. That is so good.
Is it good? Because I gave it to my son.
take it back. Take it back. That stuff is so good. So I ran with a little what is that thing? You know, like the glide stick, right? And it's portable size, small enough to put in your pack, no problem. Yeah. I ran the 200 with that, and any time even one small hot spot would show up, you know, between the legs, behind the, you know, between the arms, you know, where you get your chafage. If it just hinted, hey, I'm here, I would just knock it out with that stuff. I'd just eradicate it, you know, like an exterminator. And I ended up, I did that at RDL too. So there's 300 miles underneath my belt without a single red spot. I mean, get in the shower afterwards, no issue, zero. That's good stuff.
Really?
Good stuff, the best.
Because the shower, I've finished several races where I'm like, yes, chance-free, feeling good. And then I get in the shower and I'm screaming bloody murder. I'm like, I even know that those body parts could change. Like, what in the world's going on? But you know what, Don, what I think is really great is I know you've done quite a few races and you have learned. But you run very wisely because a lot of us just want to push through that. Like, it's not a big deal. Not a big deal. We feel it like at mile 40, and then it comes back with vengeance at mile 81, and we're just in excruciating pain. And it sounds like you've learned your lesson.
Hey, Sally, I think one of the most important things to do is just be aware early, like you were talking about. You can't push it back. Those are wonderful, wonderful clues that your sensory nervous system can pick up on so that you can make some adjustments. And I don't think there is any catastrophe that didn't give you at least, you know, I don't want to start another hypothesis because I already like my other one. They give you seven warning signs before they come. You just got to pay attention to them. And what's your perception level? Do you recognize something at the third warning sign, or does it take you four warning signs? And if you get all the way to the seventh warning sign, that is like the floor going out from underneath you. You are sunk, and you're not climbing back out of that hole.
You are so stubborn. You know, what is next for you?
What's next? Oh.
We got a couple months left. Do you have any more races?
No. Yeah, are you coming up here to do some training up here? Did I hear that? That's me asking if you're coming up here.
What?
That's me asking if you're coming up this direction. I don't know.
I know. I need to. You know, I will be honest. I had a little desire to jump in into. I wanted to jump in into RDL 100.
Ooh.
I almost did.
Wow.
I know. I was like, that is a fast course, and that would be really fun to go for that course record. But my coach, I work with a strength and conditioning coach every day. And he just told me, he's like, you know what? I think with all the racing you've done, you should really focus on running strong at the end of the year and not just jumping in at the last minute 100 miler. And so that was one that I was possibly going to come up for, but I'm not sure yet. I know that Billy is going to be releasing. He's got a couple films that he's working on.
Billy
and
Yang.
He's hoping to. Yeah, Billy.
Well,
Billy
you know, this,
Yang.
You have, to remember this is recorded. We want to, you know, I knew who Billy was.
Billy Yang Films is releasing a film,
right.
And he is hoping to do a premiere of it, I think, at the beginning of December, maybe with San Francisco Running Company. None of this is official information, people, so don't go and
this is a phone call,
This is a phone call. I might get in trouble for this.
Yeah.
But if so, I might try and make it up for that. But I leave for South Africa December 4th. So I don't really have a ton of time to get up there in between, but I need to because we need to go to Pluto's.
Oh, the best, the
we
best.
We need to go to Pluto's and have a podcast, live podcast.
Yep, those are always good. In fact, I talked to somebody on the trail this weekend about one of my many pacers, right? About your episode of getting lost out there at on the Western States Training Trail and how that was quite a story.
Yeah, my squaw. When I was up in Squaw training in the snow.
Yeah, so Sally goes up there and then ends up, you can go back and listen to the podcast because what was really, really cool about it was much like this phone call that we were about to have an hour ago when she said, hey, I've got something. I've just got off the mountain. I've got to tell you a story. And I said, wait a second. We plan on doing a podcast. Don't even breathe one word about your story. You're okay? You're alive, right? You don't need me to come up there.
Yeah.
Let's just sit down and tell it live, and I'll use that term again, raw, and get that emotion. And it was a great story.
Thank you. But you know what? I still think that there needs to be like some type of caption or an intro at that podcast to let people know I was literally straight from the mountain. And when I went back and listened to that podcast, I don't always do, but I was like, oh my gosh, I am so tired and delirious. Like, I haven't had a shower yet. I think that I went and like changed in the bathroom. You know, after I come off the mountain and did the podcast, like, I was so out of it. But that's a very raw podcast.
Yeah.
Very raw and real.
If you haven't listened to it, I would download it because you know, picture a person that really you were on a ledge hanging on to a branch. I'll leave it at that. And if you don't know it, you should listen to it.
Hoping I would not have to spend the night in the mountain.
Since it is a phone call, how are your kids?
My kids are great. They're very active. They're 8 and 10 now, and well, you know that.
It's half phone call. But I bring that up. I only bring it up because you do post them on Facebook and you have just, you know, yeah. And Mackenzie, the latest one I saw was my favorite part of the run is when she comes up and hugs me after it. And it's just it's fun to see those types of things. That's why I brought your kids up.
Oh,
so
my
doing
gosh.
Good.
She runs with her whole being. And leaves everything out on the course when she races. She's on a really fun track team and cross country and track team called the Equalizers. And every time she finishes a race, she either feels like she's going to pass out or throw up. Wow. And she always says, "Mama, hold me." And it's just like my favorite thing. I'm like, I'm so glad that you still want me to hold you. And, you know, I'm really proud of her for, you know, trying her best and really pushing herself to the limit when she races, and she's not afraid to be uncomfortable, which is, you know, I feel like I'm still learning that. So I'm really, you know, really proud of her. And Isaiah he's a little football stud and soccer stud and loves the ball sports. And so I stay very busy between their two sports schedules. So there's a lot of juggling that has to go on.
so let me ask you, you know, you said she doesn't mind suffering and, You've got to think that, well, we learn by modeling an example. And so, you know, she's watched you in your sport, right? And so this is how it's done.
Yeah, she's come to my races, yeah.
So that's how it's done. You just go out there and you go hard and you don't leave anything left. And if you were a person that just did quilting and complained about the chair not having enough cushion, then perhaps Mackenzie would be a little bit different.
That is so true. And she wouldn't be running.
No, she wouldn't.
She'd be with me.
She'd be doing something else. I don't know what. If I was more creative, I'd come up with something. Hey, did you get your voting done, Sally?
Oh, I did. But please, let's not talk about politics.
I'm not going to ask you what color pin you're wearing on your lapel. All I was doing is asking if you get your voting done. I'm glad
you
did.
No, but you know what? I will. Truth be told. I love getting into like really good conversation, and I can get into heated debates and exchanging ideas and all this stuff. And no offense whatsoever, like I just love good intellectually stimulating conversation. So, you know, that would be fun. But I think you and I, if we did that right now, we'd probably lose many, many listeners.
Well, I would show how shallow I am at that topic, so we'd lose listeners because they would clearly see that I was full of malarkey. Hey, speaking of good conversation, and it is the phone call. You know what conversation that I really enjoyed, and I know we've referenced it in the past because I just when we were up at Ann's and we were doing that podcast, Ann Trason's, and then we had Zach Bitter and you and I there, and we just start. You know, he is a smart dude.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's
he's
a conversationalist. He's a person that can take any topic and just kind of let it manifest and chase whichever direction it's going. And that's what I think is fun about conversations is just letting them go and then chasing that thought and seeing if something spurs off and you look left or right like a trail and you say, it looks better this way. And if you get a couple people that have that same type of viewpoint to a conversation, then it's really engaging.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I love it. And of course, Don, I always love our conversation. And I always feel rejuvenated after we have a chat because we always end up talking about an idea. And I love talking about ideas and just that thinking forward. And you're always great conversation for that. So this has been a good conversation, even if it just has been catching up a little bit.
You know how long it is, Sally? Because I have the counter here. 53 minutes. Are you kidding me? We're just supposed to talk.
Yeah, and you know, I told you I had 40 because I'm actually in the car driving to go coach a Nike Run Club session. I have a track session I need to coach tonight to about 100 runners.
Wow.
At Santa Monica High School.
Wow.
And because it's election day, I am sitting in the most horrific traffic. I mean, LA already has horrendous, life-sucking traffic, and this is really bad. So during our call, I had to text another coach and say, hey, I need you to go meet with my Pacers and start the session, and I'll be there as fast as I can. But I still have at least another 25 minutes of driving.
So Sally,
not that we need to make the podcast super long, but...
here's what I think, Sally. I think that point where you said, hey, Don, tell us about your business, is when you needed to do the texting. Because you knew I'd carry it for, you know, a few minutes. Is that true or false, Sally McCrae?
No, I was actually talking. I was talking while I was texting. And driving. No, I was sitting. I wasn't actually driving. It was bumper to bumper, not moving. That's what I'm in right now.
Yeah, what is the rule on that? I don't know. If you're stopped and not moving,
I think it still would be.
Yeah.
I think you just can't have it out at all. But I'm not even going a mile an hour right now. I'm just sitting on the freeway.
So what I think I heard you say is you have preloaded messages, and all you really have to do is glance down and hit a button, and it sends it to the coach.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm a very safe driver.
How do you coach 100 runners when you go out there? That's a big group. How did you attract such a big group?
It's a big group. Well, you know, I do have an army of pacers that help me. We break everybody up into pace group, and so they stay with their pacer for the workout. So I give the workout, and then you stick to your pace with your pacer for the duration of it, and then I just kind of oversee it, and I bark at people and you know, do all that fun stuff, keep the energy up. But Nike, they have these run clubs all over the world, and they're usually they start at the store. So there's a Nike store in Santa Monica, and Santa Monica High School is like 400 meters from the store, so we meet at the store and then we run over to the track and we run. So there's like 4 locations in LA that I coach from, and I don't live in LA. I'm in Orange County, as you know, so it is kind of a drive, but Nike does a great job of promoting it. So, you know, they put it on the website, and every Sunday people sign up for it. It's free, and you get live coaching, and it's good coaching. So I have three other coaches I'm on a team with, and it's so fun. And it's just kind of like my way to break out of, I mean, I love coaching because it breaks me out of just my very self-focused cycle of just my training. I love to be able to give back and help others and listen to what other runners are doing and where they are in their running journey. So it's really cool. I've loved it.
It also gives you some track time and forces you into doing some turnover and not always out on the trail.
Yeah. Although I rarely ever get out and do the workout with them because there are just so many people that I'm trying to manage and look over. But yeah, there have been times where I'll sometimes get to the track before the session and I'll do a workout. depending on where I am in my training season. And I love it. I mean, that's really the only running I did when I was in high school. I was a sprinter in high school. So the track is fun to me if it's short stuff. But I hate like 800s and 1000s. And
did you help organize all of this or oversee it or manage this? Has that been your role there?
No, this has been, it started, they kind of did like a pilot program in New York. And they had Coach Bennett was the coach that kind of had that up. And now he's the global coach that oversees all the workouts and all the coaches all over the world. And so on any given Tuesday, everybody all over the world is doing the same workout. Hmm. So it's really cool. So I just kind of manage like my pacers and the runners in my area. But it isn't like they have my email address and I'm coaching them all week long. It's just for this one. It's just for when I'm at the session. So
how much are you still?
John!
What?
Huh? I was just going to say, you should come out to a session sometime.
Oh, okay. I will be down there. I will be down there pretty soon. I'll go do that.
I know you're down here getting work done. So
hey, tell me, are you still doing some coaching, personal coaching?
I am. I keep a very small roster, and, you know, I love it because it just allows me to keep that balance in my training. And I've learned too, a smaller roster, it's been a lot easier for me to get to know my athletes, and that's a big deal to me. So yes, I am still doing that. And you know, another thing that I'm doing right now that I'm having a lot of fun with is I'm putting out a video every day in the month of November. It's just something I committed to doing because, as I shared with you earlier, I've been getting a lot of just really great questions through my Facebook page and through my website. And I don't always have time in my day to return everything that comes to me. And I like to be thoughtful. It's hard for me just to respond with, like, you know, a happy face or thank you and then carry on. I just, especially some of the stuff that people write to me. And so I thought, you know, what better way to be able to communicate with people than to answer these questions live? Because a lot of times I'll get like 20 of the same question in a week. And so I've just committed to doing a video every day answering everybody's questions. But I do have to warn you, mm-hmm. they are not of Trail Runner Nation podcast worthiness or Billy Yang film quality in any way. Most of the time, I'm coming straight from training, and I don't have a background set, and I usually only do one take. And, but it's fun. I'm just, I keep it real, and they're only like, you know, 16 to 22 minutes long, so
awesome.
It's been fun.
Hey, so
yeah.
So there are some things with imaging that you do extremely well, and I imagine there are some people like myself wondering, how do you get those shots up there when you're in the Alps? If you're pulling that off, here's two things. Number one, if you've convinced a decent photographer to climb a mountain with you to take a picture, I mean, good for you, right? I mean, that's probably more incredible than you doing it yourself in some way, just convincing somebody to get up there. And then the other thing is, if you're doing it yourself, what in the heck, Sally? How are you pulling this off? I mean, the angles are great, the background's great, your expression's right, you've got the right gear on. I mean, you've got it happening.
Thank you, Don. You are so sweet.
How do you do it? And which is it, A or B? Is it A? Is it the photographer that you convinced to get up there, or you drag him up there? An overweight, overloaded, camera-carrying... Beard wearing, moccasin.
Go on.
I don't have anything else. A broken belt, holy pants, rip shirt.
It really flannel shirt,
suede jacket,
crop top. It is both. It is A and B. But I do have to tell you.
Oh,
that
well, that's a good answer.
All the pictures that are in the Alps, that those are from Nike photo shoots.
Okay.
That they gave to me. Hmm. So those ones, iPhones do not capture that. The one from most recent UTMB, that was from Billy because he is, gosh, I don't think we've ever even talked about this, but we are working on another film together.
Yeah.
So it won't be released until 2017. He's got a lot of other projects in front of it, and so we did a lot of filming when we were in France for it, and so that's where some of those great pictures came from. But your question that you're asking me, I get almost every single time I post a picture, and I don't tell people.
Okay. Well, then I'm not offended.
Part of it is my secret. My close friends have kind of picked up on it, and a lot, and my people, and Don, I'll tell you off record, I'm not going to say it on the podcast, but it's funny because the people that I've shared it with, I'm like, oh, suddenly their Instagram pictures are different.
Hey, Sally, I already know what it is because we ran
okay,
together.
But let me.
I'm not going to say. I respect your copyright and your trademark stuff, but I think I know.
But here's the funny thing, Don, is it is so silly and ridiculous, and it's come to a point that is the reason why I don't tell people, because I get the biggest giggle out of it. I'm like, really, you don't know how I get this? And so, but on the other hand, my parents, I have a really great, great, great love for photography, and my parents, we had, they would develop their own pictures. They have this little corner in our garage where they would develop their own pictures, and they loved taking pictures. I have four siblings. There's five kids in our family, and they love taking pictures, doing little mini photo shoots, and it's just always been a hobby of mine. And even for me, like, the people who I follow on Instagram, I just want to see beautiful pictures, and so I'm really drawn to that, and so it's more of a hobby for me. Like, I really like putting out pictures that are appealing or tell a story. And so, yeah, I do take my time with them, but they do not take, when I'm out training, it's like I can get the shots that I want very, very, very fast and then just keep running. And then later on, I'll figure out what I'm going to use, and I'll post after I get home or when I get back to my car or something like that. But it really is very simple and really silly how I get my shots.
Sally McRae, this was kind of just a fun idea when you called and I said, let's do the podcast. And all you had to say was, no, that's ridiculous. And I would have said, yeah, you're right. That's pretty ridiculous. Sorry I brought it up. But you said yes, and I said, give me 10 minutes. I'll set up everything. And it's been, I've had a fun time tonight.
Oh, me too. It was good just to catch up, seriously. It's been too long.
Well,
and I just want to say, too, I'm so proud of you for your last two races. You are a beast. Mm-hmm. And sub 24 on no sleep. Amazing.
Well,
this has been great, Don.
Yeah,
Thank you for your time. It's
been fun, and let's make sure we... Oh, that's what I was going to say. We're gonna do that game show thing again this year, and so we're closing in on the holiday season, like we did last year. That we did the $10,000 pyramid.
That was really fun.
We may change the game. I don't know what we're gonna do yet. But do you want to be one of the contestants?
Oh yeah.
All right.
It was a disaster. I was a disaster. Our team was a disaster last year because we were lost in translation.
Yeah, you had Warren Pohl. So I'm gonna give you a chance here on this unrecorded telephone call. Because Warren is a natural. We've got to have Warren back.
I want to be on his team again.
All right.
He was hilarious. That was so fun.
You guys have some. You've got to redeem yourself.
Oh my gosh! Yes. We do.
So if you haven't heard that podcast and you want to hear a collection of Sally's laugh, there's a lot there. And especially when we made her, remember we had British terms that you had to.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. And then he didn't even know what watermelon was.
He didn't.
What?
It's foggy over there. They don't have watermelon in London.
It was really good.
Okay.
I'll look forward to that.
All right. We'll start assembling the mojo and the energy and getting things together for it. And we'll see if Warren is, perhaps he has forgotten the pain and the agony of that experience. We'll get him back on. Sally, keep doing what you're doing. Be safe going to South Africa on December 4th.
Thank you.
And with the holidays coming up, keep people close and enjoy what we have. And I'm glad that you're part of the trail running community, because I've gained much from you, and you've given back to many as well.
Well, thank you so much, Don. And seeing that this is a phone conversation,
yes.
You get some rest. You get some rest. Take care of yourself. And I hope to see you very soon.
Okay, that'll happen. I'll talk to you later, Sally.
All right.
Okay.
Bye, Don.
Bye-bye.